This is Bart Eisen of Scrimmage Play. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the Scrimmage Play podcast, and we're just going to dive right into it. Very busy week, state tournament stuff. Last week we talked about a lot of the public schools, but we want to dive into the private schools this week. Their brackets just came out, and it's pretty exciting to see so many teams in the mix.
Yeah, a lot of these teams have played against each other. There's an opportunity for them to do it again. Realistically, you could have Miller Boys and Blue Ridge play a fifth time, which is insane.
But fifth seems like not an... It feels like they've played 37 times this year.
So I guess the best of five series kind of thing going in there. And then, yes, St. Anne's obviously in that mix. They've played Blue Ridge. That was the season opener for them. That was an interesting first half. And they played Miller as well. I think that was like a week later. So all these teams sort of familiar with each other. Now they got to battle the Richmond schools, you know, the Paul the Sixth, all those guys. And there's a lot of great competition in this tournament. It's a really quick tournament. I mean, we see it in the public side that thing is just drawn out by weeks and weeks and weeks. And that's because the field is just so wide. And the private schools, they hone it down to 12 out of the gate, and then just sort of slim down from there. So it's three games for most of these guys. That's all it takes to win. But can't have a bad night.
No question. You can't slip up because there's not as much room between the bottom and the top as you would think. Let's start with Blue Ridge. They're the one seed. I think they're wire to wire. They've been the one. I think they started the year as the one in the poll. Now they're going to finish up the year as the one going into the tournament, and then we'll see what happens from there. But they had a tough time in the VIC title game. They went to overtime with Miller. Let's just talk a little bit about how that squad has kind of come together.
Yeah, with Blue Ridge, they're so deep. It's kind of a death by a thousand paper cuts, only not paper cuts. It's a lot worse. Amir Sims is what he is. He's the most dominant player probably physically in our area. You got Sadar Calhoun, Josh Cologne, Darius McGee is just an absolute sniper. So they've got a thousand different weapons, and then a freshman in Richard Amefool who's just out of this world good. He's a scholarship player. Coming up. So yeah, Miller's just so deep. I think with the close games with Miller as of late, that's a familiarity thing where you got two coaches just going at it over and over again, sets of players going at it over and over again. We'll see maybe if they line up with VES, what that looks like, because that's one of the few teams that have beaten them this year. But then Blue Ridge has also come back and kick VES right in the head.
Yeah.
So we've seen a little bit of everything. Since they lost that state title game, this team's played with a chip on its shoulder. They play with confidence. They run up that floor. That is 32 minutes of hell for whoever is playing against them. Defensively, you got to love what Blue Ridge does. And they're a fun team to watch because they get so many points in transition. They're the top dog coming in for a reason. They have skilled players, and they have a lot of them. It's really that simple.
Miller, on the flip side, is the two seed. You got to be impressed with the job Danny Manuel's done. This is a young roster, yeah. And he's getting the job done with them right now.
He knows that. He's talked about that in the losses to Blue Ridge, about how this is sort of this is the learning curve year for them before they jump up to something, maybe even potentially greater. They've got the kids to do it. Deshaun Wade, Day-Day Hurd, and then the big guy, Andre Hyatt. Andre Hyatt is really, really good. You look at him and you say, oh, this is an amazing post player. And then you watch him spot up from three, and you realize, no, this kid can just flat-out play. He can shoot. He's physical underneath the basket and everything. He gets the rebounds that you'd expect him to get. He's a shot blocker and all that other stuff. But he's an all-around player and somebody, again, another scholarship player. That's been a really nice addition for this area is watching Miller come back into what we saw from them under Scott Willard and those guys before.
Yeah, it's... It's fun to see two of the best in the state locking up from right here. You got the one and the two. And then, as a wrinkle, Miller could see as their first-round opponent, St. Anne's Belfield. Stab hits the road to go play Walsingham in the first round. In Division II, feels like to me that at the 10, I think Stab might be a little underrated in D2. Division II is very, very good. Division I has your Trinity Episcopals, your Paul the Sixes, those squads. So when you look, at the private school ranks, St. Anne's is spending their whole year playing against these prep league teams that are in the Division I playoffs.
Yeah.
So then you go, down to D2, VES, Blue Ridge, and Miller are staring at you. So it is not getting easy, any easier.
I think the top end of Division II is, I mean, it's probably as good or better than a lot of things you'll see in Division I. I know if you talk to Danny Manuel, he'll tell you that. That maybe this tournament is harder to win right now than the Division I tournament. But having said that, strength of schedule, Stab, hands down, the competition they played is it's rough because they're out of prep league schedule was Blue Ridge, was Miller.
Yeah.
So I mean they've really put together, just like they did last year and the year before, a really strong schedule to sort of get them prepped up for them. If you're playing that many good teams, you're just worried about coming into this tournament healthy, which they are for the most part. That helps.
Yeah, Matt Palumbo comes back. He's rocking a mask now, which is very exciting. Palumbo's the first guy I can remember wearing a facial mask in a while. I think we had a guy a few years ago. But now he's back. He's got that thing in place. And it's difficult. It's a little challenging, especially for a spot-up shooter like him. Affects your vision, affects some of the things you're doing. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that. But just having that guy back in the lineup and the threat that he is makes a big difference.
Yeah, he's a big three-point shooter for them. And they need that outside game. I mean, that's St. Anne's is sort of built around Jaden Nixon, I mean, who's just a one-man wrecking crew.
Jaden Nixon does whatever he wants with the ball a lot of times. Yeah. It was really interesting to watch against St. Chris in the prep league semis. The guy just attacked and attacked and attacked. St. Chris would hit a basket and you're like, all right, like now they got to set the offense. No, it was just as quickly coming on a secondary break was the one-man Jaden Nixon. And sometimes he kicked it, but a lot of times he's taking it. He's forcing contact. He absorbs it. The guy just stays in there. He's just a very relentless, tough player.
And it seems like he never gets tired, which is all the more impressive.
Man, I'm surprised he's not exhausted by halftime. But yeah, he just stays with it.
He's going to be on, and everyone's going to key in on him, obviously, if you're the opposition defense. So that makes it key for Palumbo and then Nick Kent to hit the outside shots when they get the opportunities. They can do that. We saw when they played Blue Ridge, when they came out hot, if they can do that early on, they can stay and run with those guys. It's just a matter of keeping it up.
The other big advantage is that Walsingham doesn't have Armando Bacot, who plays for Trinity Episcopal. Yeah. 36-12 against Stab in the Prep League Championship game. I mean, there's no question Stab doesn't have a ton of height on the front line. They make up for it by throwing a lot of bodies at you. They've got guys who are great at positioning. Isaiah Kobe-Sharp is really good. Miles Ward, very good on the boards. And Nixon himself, man, he pulls down a lot of rebounds. So when you put that group together, they can make up for that deficiency. But Bacot, man, 6'8", 6'9", somewhere around there, sophomore, knocking down three-pointers. Like, when he gets the ball on the block, he's impossible because he's just so big and wide. So Walsingham does not have him, so that helps. I think that plays to Stab's favor.
Yeah.
And now they look at, if they can get past Walsingham, then they play a Miller squad that has a guy like Hyatt, who's very, very tough, very difficult to kind of handle. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get past them, if they can take on Miller. That becomes a game of matchups.
Yep, and they've played once before. Who knows if they come at it with the same approach. If that does happen, it's entirely up to them. But hopefully we'll get to see those matchups come play.
Staying on the boys' side, they're not in the state tournament, but you got to give it up for the Tandem boys, pulling off the win. Delaney Athletic Conference championship game. Latrell Winkie comes up with a really big play. Misses two free throws, either one of which would have tied the ball game with under 5 seconds. Then, once he misses, he jumps to his left. We've got the video up on Skirmish Play now. He jumps to his left and intercepts the outlet pass from the rebounder underneath, who maybe if the rebounder had held on to it for a second, maybe a quick foul comes or something happens there. But he makes the pass, and Winkie is on it. He intercepts the pass, grabs it, and immediately elevates and hits a fall-away jumper, short jumper, but a fall-away jumper with no time left on the clock, essentially, maybe 2 seconds. And that wins it for Tandem. So congratulations to Tandem pulling that one off. Latrell Winkie, heck of a year he put together, and certainly fun to see the Quakers get it done.
Yeah, I mean, and then you look at how they put together a roster. I mean, that school, student body wise, is so small. So anytime they have success, you got to give them props and recognize it because they they don't have a lot of people to contribute to a basketball roster, and so it means bringing the bottom end of that up and getting them to play at a really good level. You know what to expect from Winky. That's trying to get, you know, the sixth man to contribute, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, like you said, kudos to them.
Rob Jordan's done a heck of a job over there. Looking over on the girls' side, we've got three teams in it: Miller Girls, Covenant Girls, Stab Girls. Miller and the Covenant Girls are in Division II. St. Anne's Belfield Girls are in Division I. And let's start with the Stab Girls, having to play an entirely different style right now because they lost Jayla Davis. Hand injury is keeping Davis out. She's been so electric, so tough. She's headed to Sacred Heart. And she's just been, I think she's been much better this year than even she has been in the past, and she's been pretty darn good in the past.
Yeah, I mean, they carved out a bigger role for her, and she sort of jumped into it with both feet and did a great job of it, and now you're trying to find out what to do when you lose something like that. And it's tough. I mean, Stab Girls, this was, in some ways, with some of the losses, they had maybe a transition year, but still, when you have Tinsley back, and with all the young players that they had contribute last year, you're like, okay, so maybe next year is their year, maybe the year after that is their year. They play in the state title game every single year. There is no next year is our year. This is like their deal.
They play for a state championship, and it's tough because they are in a division with Paul the Sixth. And being in a division with Paul the Sixth, it's like being in a division with UConn. In women's basketball, they're very, very good. They're always loaded. You know, sometimes they'll go like 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", along the front as a girls team. They're unbelievable.
It's kind of like over on the public side, George Mason just wins their state tournament every year.
Yeah.
Like
you know that they're going to be there, and you know that it's going to be tough, and you know that hill is there to climb at all times. So Stab seems to try and put together a different mix, a different recipe every time. And Phil Stanley does a really nice job of tailoring around his talent. And his talent was really fast guards this year. You know, in the past, it's been a big, like Sarah Movio, or it's, you know, been N'Kay Lang, who was really good at mid-range jumper. You know, those kind of things. You know, he can take his team's strength and just maximize it. And he did it this year. The system they played is very different from a lot of what they've done in the past. And it was fast. And it moved. And it was good. It really started, I think, more last year. Part of that is that Sierra Smith is a big who can move.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
When you got a big who can run the floor like Sierra Smith and rebound like she can, that system becomes special. I mean, and it worked. But in the last 2 weeks, they've had to essentially just figure out something else.
Yeah, and you lean on your guards. So Tinsley and Winky go to them. Woodard. They've got the options there. I mean, the thing about St. Anne's is they can just play fast if they want. If that's the game they want to play, they can do it as good as anybody.
Yeah, I think that when you have to have the big step up, I think when you move to more of a slow it down system, then your front court has to play well. Vanessa Woodfolk has been good. Sierra Smith has been really good on the boards. Woodfolk is a very versatile player.
She can shoot from outside.
The game changer, though, was Javiah Winky stepping up and doing more. I think, you know, that's what won him, that LIS title.
It was around this time last year when she stepped up as a freshman and really took them to that next level. And so she seems primed for these kind of moments. Like, if that's what she did last year as a freshman, then you're going to expect it again this time as a season sophomore.
So St. Anne's is the two in Division I. We'll kind of see how their path plays out. But, you know, odds are good that if they can advance to the state title game, they'll be looking at staring down Paul the Sixth. You know, it's not a foregone conclusion, but it's certainly the challenge that probably lies out there for them. So it's going to be fun to watch what St. Anne's is able to do over the next couple of days and see how they adjust. I mean, it's fun to watch. I mean, part of the reason that this works is because Bree Tinsley can be good in any system. She's just really talented. She's a smart player who can figure things out. And I think when you have that happen, I think that can change everything for the rest of the players on the team.
Absolutely.
So when you flip over and look at Division II, Miller Girls are the number two seed over there. Certainly a strong second half surge from them.
Yeah, Miller Girls coming off the state title last year lost just about everybody. Mm-hmm. And that state title that they put together last year, that was a late run. They had a lot of new pieces, and they just finally figured out a way, chemistry-wise, to get things going in the state tournament. I think the big thing for them this year is that they're following a similar path. They played a tough schedule up front. They took a little bit on the chin as they tried to work things out chemistry-wise. And then they've just gotten red hot, again, at the perfect time. And so they come into this tournament with a much higher seed than we would have guessed, you know, in January. So good on them. You know, Secret Bryant is the big returning player for them. But they've been getting double figures out of Woodard and others. So this is a team that has a leader, has a guard that's been there before, knows how to distribute. She can pour it in herself. Will they have enough pieces outside of that to make the run that they did last year? Imani Bryant was a huge, huge deal for them last year. Do they have somebody that can perform like that in the paint and be that dominant, get things going for them? James Braxton, their coach, has been in this state final almost every year. He's been at Miller. I mean, they've been at the Division II level for about 6 or 7 years now. They own Division III for the better part of a decade. Not a lot has changed since they've been bumped up, but this is not the year that they expected to be really good. They expect to be very good next year. So if they can take a next step this year, maybe even win a title here, who knows what they'll be looking like going ahead. They're a pretty interesting team to keep an eye on.
The last few years, they've figured out a way to play their best basketball right now, which is what every team wants to do. And they just take it to another level. So it's going to be fun to watch how Bryant, having an experienced point guard or experienced guard of any kind in the tournament, in the postseason, is just a huge help. I mean, we've seen that time and time again. So it's going to be fun to watch. It, also in that division, right now they get a chance to host as the sixth seed is Covenant. This has been a fun group to watch develop over the years because I think they've turned a corner this year that just they could not get around the last couple of years. And I don't know if that's the urgency of knowing that Emily Maupin and Sarah Beacom are at the end of their careers, or if it's just things kind of happening with the younger players. But they've been really good. They have not beaten Division I teams before. They beat St. Gertrude. You know, they've taken it to some teams, and they've hung with squads for long stretches. Even Stab with Jayla Davis, they hung with them for a while. They play more confident right now, and I think that, like, you could see a Covenant team. I mean, that six, they could make a run out of that spot. And Maupin is just so tough to defend. She's such a matchup issue underneath, because even when you got her blocked out, like, she might get back up over you. Her arms are so long. Just a rebound machine. And I think it's going to be fun to see what they're able to do, because if they can play with the confidence that they played with against a St. Gertrude, you know, a collegiate, you know, they beat those teams. And that says a lot about where they've come, because I think Maupin, she knows as well as anybody, and said that they hadn't beaten a Division I team since she joined the team as an eighth grader. So to do that this year is a huge leap forward. And I think that you've got to be excited about, you know, where Covenant is, how they're playing right now, and maybe what they can do in this postseason with the sheer urgency that they have.
Yeah, the interesting part about the way the Division II tournament sort of works out is there's always one player that just sort of carries their team through this tournament. Now, one player can't win you this tournament. We've seen, even in the Division I level with Amobio, she can get you right up to the edge, but it's going to take something else extra to push it over.
No question.
So, you know, in Maupin, they have a player that can carry them. Because she plays, you know, underneath the boards, it's just so vital. That means more than, I think, having, you know, an amazing small forward or something, somebody you can shoot. Having a post presence, somebody that can clean up the glass, especially, you know, offensive rebounds, picking up short misses and turning those into easy points. Those are so valuable at this stage of the game. So they have that in Maupin, and if
they have the shooter at the wing in Meekum.
So if you can just add little pieces here and there, you're not asking for much. You're not asking for someone to put in, you know, 20 points and 10 assists. You're just looking for contributions to ease the pressure off of a.
And that's going
to
come down, you know, they may let Maupin handle a little bit, but it's going to come down to Ella Dalton at the point. I mean, and, you know, she's been so steady this year for him that if she can take care of the ball, and this is it's great to have post players, but we all know, we've seen it enough. Postseason basketball is determined by your guard play.
Yeah, can they avoid turnovers?
Can you avoid turnovers? Can you keep your team out of trouble? Ella Dalton's been doing it all year. I think that her she's improved so much, and everybody in that younger group of Covenant players, the players behind Maupin and Meekum, have improved so much that maybe this is the chance that Covenant could make a little bit of a run.
Yeah, and it would be a big deal for not just that program, but that school. Mm-hmm. They would certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, so exciting week coming up. We also have all the state quarterfinal stuff with the public schools hitting on Thursday and Friday. And you got the Charlottesville girls, the Western boys, the Madison boys, the Albemarle boys, all playing for a chance in the state semis on Saturday. So busy week for us, busy week for all the local squads, and we look forward to covering it. Check back with us on Scrimmage Play, and we appreciate you listening.